All right. Well, as we mentioned in the introduction, it is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month here in Connecticut and across the nation this September. And as someone who has been one of the individuals who has been exposed to suicide in both family and friends, it is a subject that needs more discussion and more destigmatizing. And we have got a great guest to talk about that today, representing Catalyst CT. He's becoming a regular voice here on the award-winning For the People, and his organization is a great resource, including its subsidiary, The Hub, which is working very hard on suicide prevention and awareness, both in September and year-round. The Hub is a state-designated regional behavioral health action organization serving southwestern Connecticut, 14 communities from Greenwich to Stratford, and they serve as a strategic partner and resource for the region, coordinating initiatives related to mental health, suicide prevention, problem substance use, and problem gambling. All of these subjects we've had an opportunity to talk about in the past with Mark Daniel, their president and CEO. He's with us again today to talk about this preventable tragedy of suicide. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
John, thanks so much for having me. Happy to talk about some very important issues that we're dealing with these days.
Yeah. So from your perspective, kind of on the front lines of things across these 14 communities down in Fairfield County, how are your constituents and your community members doing when it comes to suicide? Are there situations that you're able to tap into to indicate whether or not trends are up, down, remain the same? I mean, any suicide is one too many, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the big issue when it comes to suicide is that one has so many rippling effects across communities, no matter, you know, the age or demographic that it happens with. And certainly with the increased focus on a lot of the mental health and stressors that, you know, again, all ages are experiencing, it's important to know best practices to prevent suicide in the first place.
Well, we mentioned how the Hub is a division of Catalyst CT. Can you just explain to folks that are listening a little bit more about how that fits together, and specifically how the Hub and your team in that division is both available to help educate community members about prevention and awareness, and how they are actually also, in some respects, frontline responders when calls for help come in?
There's five what we call RBHAOs, or Regional Behavioral Health Action Organizations, in the state of Connecticut for each region. The Hub is the region one, which would be kind of the southern Fairfield County, from Stratford to Greenwich, that we focus on coordinating suicide prevention, intervention, postvention, and recovery around substance misuse, addiction, as well as obviously suicide prevention, which is a big focus of ours, especially this month, as it's Suicide Prevention Month. So our role is really to be that strategic partner for towns, communities, resources, schools, to help support addressing all of these issues. And I think, you know, one of the biggest focuses that we want to emphasize is the prevention piece. Yeah. You know, and as I say frequently, I don't think you're going to have somebody who has experienced substance misuse, whether it's with a family member or whatever, not agree that it starts with the prevention. Of course, you know, we're not 100% successful with that, so we have to have the intervention and the postvention. And a lot of these things, of course, too, John, are interrelated. Mental health, and other behavioral health can lead into substance misuse, which can, lead into, what's so-called deaths of despair, overdoses, suicides, and others.
Well, as you mentioned, the ripple effects and how people who are the kind of the ones left behind, the left behinders, as I tend to identify myself, there are a lot of folks who react to the suicide of a loved one by wanting to do whatever they can to prevent that from happening to someone else, even if it's a total stranger. So that's where the Regional Suicide Advisory Board comes in. And if I understand correctly, there are opportunities on that advisory board, if not for volunteerism, to actually serve on the board, certainly to support it through the hub, right?
Absolutely. I think the opportunity within that is you can merely attend a post-mention training. You can be, as you said, on the board to serve and support, or you can just you can attend a meeting. It's these things are so heavy, and often people are very passionate about who've been directly impacted. And attending training can result in some other, vicarious trauma, as we say, or can reactivate some trauma. So we have some, very talented individuals that are trained in best practices in that training to ensure that everyone is supported. So there's a lot of opportunities. It can be a triggering issue. So we want to give people the opportunity to engage as much as they're able, or, even just touch and go. It's such a sensitive, and it touches a lot of us, as you said, John. I myself lost a dear college friend, and the days and that go by do not seem to lessen some of the impact.
Up until just a few years ago, the efforts both on a local, statewide, and national level to try to find a best way to address suicide and crisis prevention came to fruition a relatively short time ago with the inception of the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Can you just talk a little bit about that from your perspective and the difference that, in your opinion, having this kind of one-stop place for anyone in crisis to go to get the expert support and intervention in that white hot moment where they might be making the wrong decision?
Yeah, it's so critical. And, I think the people who developed it and continue to improve it had it right when they called it the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. I think, John, as we probably grew up, 911 was kind of the first resource to go to when we felt there was an emergency or, something impending. And someone who's experiencing suicidal ideation or, another mental health crisis, if they call 911 first, they're not going to get somebody trained specifically to respond to that.
They're going to get lights and sirens, basically, right?
It's critical. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a really great life resource for anybody. You can call, you can text or chat. You will, engage with a trained professional who will support ideally through the immediate crisis and then, support with the connection afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned
these are trained counselors.
Yeah. You mentioned there were best practices that were a part of the Regional Suicide Advisory Boards and the hubs teams work. But those best practices are something anybody could do, right?
Absolutely. That's one of the great things about many of the trainings is that somebody who is just concerned or care, with The kind of easy one that a lot of people are familiar with is Narcan, which revives someone who's experiencing an overdose. But there's also some best practices in regards to suicide, and that you and I could do. And, you know, it starts with ask directly, are you thinking about suicide? You know, many of us would be reluctant to ask that question for fear, but there's no evidence that says that it increases the ideation, but more is an opportunity to engage with them. And that's a key component, too, is for, you know, encountering somebody, you want to stay connected. You want to remove access to lethal means, right? Is there an available gun? You know, there have been some safe storage laws passed recently, mm-hmm. but, you know, there are ways around those, of course, and somebody with access to their own. You want to remove that. Are there knives, other objects that could cause self-harm?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be there. You want to be empathetic. You don't want to offer advice or judgment. It's really just to help get them through the crisis. You know, and then I think as we mentioned at the start of this part of the conversation, we want to get them connected to 988 and a trained professional, because I myself am not a trained professional. So I would much rather get them connected and then support them through the immediate crisis and then for the follow up, which, of course, is kind of the final piece of those five best practices in suicide prevention. We want to help them stay connected. And we want to stay connected too. There's evidence growing that it goes down when the person who has experienced that ideation knows someone cares.
Excellent. Well, if you want to learn more about what the Hub is doing, to find out more about potentially taking a prevention training or being part of the Regional Suicide Advisory Board, go to catalystct.org/the-hub and hit the suicide awareness tab on the left-hand side of the page to get you started. And of course, always remember, as Mark was saying, 988 are the three numbers you need to know if you or someone that you know is facing thoughts of suicide or experiencing a crisis in their life. Mark, we don't have a super lot of time left, but I know that congratulations are in order. You recently received a grant for a mediation program out of the Catalyst CT organization. In the last few minutes that we have, can you just brief us on that?
Yeah, so we've gone over 10 years privately funding our youth mediation program, which helps keep young people out of the carceral system. It helps keep them out of courts. If they go to court, we can help them learn from their mistakes and consequences and keep them out. So what it is our trained mediators work with the young people to use a restorative justice model to repair the harm that they may have caused. And so over a period, you get across the table with the victim, and oftentimes with young people, the young person is both the victim and the perpetrator, especially if it's violence. So you get them across the table from each other and you talk through it with the restorative model. And the young people ideally take skills that they can use throughout their lifespan. The beautiful thing about that mediation program is it's over 90% successful over time. And with this state investment in it, we're going to be able to impact a lot more individuals than we've been able to with private funding. And, you know, this is one of the things we're proud of with a lot of our programs is it's a win-win from a social perspective where youth are benefiting long-term from this engagement, but also on the tax bill. Our data show that our average mediation case costs between $2,000 and $3,000 to mediate. And it would cost the state $6,000 to $8,000 for each case. So that obviously is a win-win for everybody. And youth is not going deeper in the court system, but we're keeping them out of it. And, you know, again, keeping them helping them develop skills. skills to resolve conflict and make better choices in the future.
Well, that's great news for taxpayers, but better news for those who are involved, because ultimately they're getting the best possible help that they can with a proven formula of success faster and more effectively, thanks to the great work you guys are doing over there at Catalyst CT. Folks, we appreciate our guest this morning, Mark Donald, returning to chat with us. He's president and CEO of Catalyst CT and their organization, The Hub, which is serving as a strategic partner and resource for the region, coordinating initiatives particularly related to suicide prevention this September, National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. Mark, we appreciate you and your team and all the great work that you're doing on all facets of the Catalyst CT jewel down in Fairfield County. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.